Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, howdy there, folks, and welcome to the Can We Help You podcast. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
We were just talking about the South, the dirty South of America, and it just got it in my head. My name is Sash. Joining me is Jax. Say hello, Jax. Now I'm close.
Hello.
School.
Howdy.
Howdy, partner. Oh, God. You're right. Every week, this is the Can We Help You podcast. Every week, we take questions from you, our dear listeners, and we see if we can help you with them, hence the name Can We Help You. Joining me, as I said, is Jax, absent once again. Now, you might remember last episode, we finished with an absolute shit show because Franco half showed up about 10 minutes in, then he disappeared, and then he popped back up at the very end of the episode. And he's
in his bunker, in his war bunker.
Yeah, he's coming to us live from his new workspace, which I've decided is underground and lined with lead or something.
I think it might be underground and in like Africa or something.
Yeah, it's
and like,
not near us.
You know, there is no like direct line or anything. Nah. And he's just trying to get like some kind of satellite internet.
Yeah. And we were going to find out all today. All we promised at the end of last episode that we would talk about Franco's recording bunker.
Yeah.
But he's fucking not here again going, guys, my internet and da-da-da. We saw him briefly and he sounded like a robot. We told him to disconnect. We'll get started and he'll join us when he can. No promises, guys. It might just be Jax and I again. I'm so sorry.
I feel like we could feed what we have of him over the last four seasons that we've been a podcast into an AI robot.
Oh, yeah.
And just have an AI robot like be Franco.
Have you heard of that scam that's doing the rounds at the moment?
No.
So what they're doing is they're using people's voices, so people who upload things on the internet. So, Jax, you and I could be prime targets, not for videos, but because we have a podcast. Wow. So what they're doing is they're using people's voices, feeding it into a machine, which we have done actually. We have done this on the podcast and it's
it didn't work that well.
It didn't work that well, but the scammers have access to much better technology. They're willing to spend some money on it so they can make money. And they're calling people and they're using your voice, your AI generated voice to say, Jax, it's Sasha. Oh my God. I've just gotten into like an awful, I don't know, something like, I've just been robbed at gunpoint. Can you please transfer me some money? I need to go to fucking, I was on my way to the bank and help me. And you go, oh my God, of course. Like, I hope you're okay. Here's $1,000 transferring you now. Scammers have your money.
I see. That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know that, because see, when we started this podcast, my back of the head fear was that someone could clip something that we talk about and put it out of context. But now it you don't even like, that's not the thing you have to worry about. It's about your voice being taken and being used to say literally, could be used to say anything.
Anything. Exactly. It's not just, it's not.
I don't like this new world.
It's how I also feel about like deep fakes, like images. Like I am by no means in any sort of way famous and like at risk of being, what's the word I'm looking for? Blackmailed, extorted for cash.
Extorted.
If you know me, you know I don't have cash. If you've listened to me about anything, I don't have cash. I'm strapped. Just bought a, yes, I know I just bought a house, but a little secret, we didn't have a deposit.
I just bought a bloody house.
No, we didn't have a deposit. Don't have any money. All of our money is going onto this house, right? So yeah, so what I'm saying is I'm not important enough for this to happen to. However, the idea of someone creating a fake image of me, let's say in 10 years I'm Carrie Bickmore status, right? Someone using fake image, that's my dream. I just want to be Carrie Bickmore. She was an Nova newsreader, mate. I could do this. I can make the transition.
You could be on the project.
I could be. Oh, I don't want to be on the project. I want to be on the new iteration of the project when everyone likes it.
Okay.
I worry of someone using an image and making it look like, I don't know, what's something really bad, like me pretend, like me shooting someone or like, you know, like putting my finger up at something that I shouldn't. I don't know. Yeah, just whatever they're doing.
You know what? You say that, but put it this way. If the whole Kate Middleton saga is anything to go by, anything that looks even a little bit fake, people are going to notice. You know?
But have you not seen some deep fake images? They are incredibly convincing.
Yeah, but I know, but I'm just saying.
And this is the thing, right? We work in media. We work in this space. So we can spot it a lot easier than the average person could because we know what it looks like.
Average person is doing pretty well. Didn't you see Kate Middleton? The average person was like, hang on a second. Her hand is blurry and her kid's shirt isn't. And the sleeve doesn't line up with her hand or something. And her face is copied from somewhere else. And the patterns don't align.
Yeah.
People are getting smart about this stuff.
Yeah, but to be fair, that was very obvious Photoshop fails. That wasn't a deep fake. That was someone stitching together six different images. I'm talking about AI-generated images that is completely made from nothing, simply saying, make this picture of Sasha where she's shitting on a ladybug or something.
Okay.
Sorry, just an update. We have just heard from Franco, who has said, I think I'm out of options.
He's caught up. I think there's a battle outside his bunker or something. Yeah.
He's run out of ammo. Something's going on. Yeah. So I don't think we'll be joined by Franco
today.
He's
hit the button, the big red button on his panic room, and he can't connect.
Hopefully we will be able to hear about this horrific panic bunker.
Next episode.
Oh, but yes, it doesn't look like he's joining us today.
A couple of weeks ago I was in Australia and I'm about to head to Australia again and I'm not sure that I want to go on that flight again. And the thing is when I came back, I had it was an A380, which is a double decker. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about that is it was like half full and we were up the back. So, you know, the hostie was like, make sure when the captain turns the seatbelt sign off that you go and grab yourself a row. And I was like, great. And because the A380's got four seats in the middle.
Oh.
So I went to the back, grabbed a four-seater and laid out. I could lay down and stretch my legs out, try and sleep. I did sort of drift off a bit. The one annoying thing about being up the back was all the kids were there. And so I was like, I had my pillows up, had my legs up, my pillows on the little seat rest. And I was like, drifting off to sleep. And just as I was drifting off to sleep, a kid started crying and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, when we flew back from Europe, Shane and I had an empty seat next to us. And while it was more comfortable generally, it still wasn't enough to get a good sleep. I think I slept for 2 hours. That's the longest I've ever slept continuously on a plane. I'm not a good plane sleeper. But I reckon four seats, a row to myself, I definitely think I could sleep.
It's pretty good.
Oh, mate. That's the whole thing. That's what they're doing on Air New Zealand with the sky beds where it's like they convert. Yeah. Oh, my God, heaven. Because there is nothing, I don't think I've ever felt, I can't like that feeling of being so tired and it's dark and there's nothing else to do. Yep. It's, you know, yes, you can so watch bored. A movie, but like you're so tired, you don't want to watch a movie. All you want is a sleep.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just me, but the older I get, like when I was younger, I mean, obviously when I was little, but even when I was in my 20s, early 20s, I could get on that 14, 15-hour plane ride and I could have an iPad or something or the in-screen in the back of the seat and I could sit there and just smash through movies and shows and, you know, cartoons, whatever there was that was on. I'd be like, yep, I'm good. The older I get, the more that I just like can't focus on that stuff. And so I'm like, oh, I could like watch like six episodes of like an hour-long show, six episodes. There's 6 hours done.
Yeah.
But I can't focus on it. And I get like 20 minutes into the first episode and I'm like, I can't focus on this. I can't pay attention to this. And so then I turn it off and I'm like, well, I don't want to read. You know, I can't pay attention to that. So I don't read. And then I'm like, oh, I could play some games. So I start playing games. But then the screen, because it's always dark, the screen's like too bright. And I'm like, oh, I can't look at this screen because it's too bright. And then so I just sit there and I'm like, what do I do now? I've got
the worst
14 hours
is like,
left on this plane.
I get up to pee a lot on flights because I get really – I pee a lot anyway. I drink so much fucking water and on planes I'm no different. I drink as much water as I can. You should drink more water on a plane because you dehydrate quicker. So I get up to pee a lot. So I'd be like walking through the cabin. We're like 6 hours into the flight. So, you know, everyone's settled in. There's no one, you know, still doing anything really fun. And walking past people who are sleeping is like so frustrating to me. Because, I mean, a lot of people, some people can just drop off. Dad, it's like a dad thing. Maybe, Jax, when you become a dad, if you and Mrs. Veggie ever have kids, maybe that's when you'll
so
be
so tired.
Yeah, that's when you'll be able to crack sleeping on a plane. But that ability to like for people to just sit up and like they're barely even reclined and they're just like.
I know.
I'm like, fuck
you. You know what shits me the most? What shits me the most is when you're in a, and this is the thing that I'm concerned about, is because on the way to Australia, we have extra legroom seats. We normally spring for extra legroom, and that helps. But going back, there was none left. And so that's, I'm concerned about that.
But your last flight back, it was, you said there was heaps of spots left. So maybe it's just going to be
the same.
Well,
that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
But what shits me the most is when you're in a full plane, right? Or mostly full plane, mostly full. And you're in like a three-seater or a four-seater, and it's like, you got yourself and your partner or your friend that you're flying with and another person, and like the row behind you is full of people and the row in front of you is full of people. Then you get up, you walk down the rows to pee and you see someone who's locked out, a three-seater, all to themselves, stretched out, sleeping, and you're like, you fucking...
Well, I felt like those people on our flight back from Europe, because Shane and I had the only empty seat. As far as I could tell, like I wasn't going up to the front of the plane that much. Actually, I was. Depending on which toilet had the shortest queue, I'd just go front or back. But I couldn't see any empty seats around us. We had the only spare seat, and
everyone was walking
like
past you, going,
"A queen
you
among
fucking
women."
Assholes. The thing I found about the A380 coming back to America is it's a double decker, right? And it's been a long, long time since I've flown on like a double decker airplane. And we were up the back and, you know, there's like 440 seats or something. So I don't know how many rows that is, but we were row like 70 something. And we were in like the last 10 rows and there was like there's the toilets, there's like our 10 rows, then there's like the, you know, the food preparation bit, then there's the rest of the kind of aircraft going forward. And so we were kind of in our own little, you know, they have the curtain, the partition, we're in our own little kind of back of the airplane, fun little whatever, you know, half full. There's only like, you know, I don't know, 30 of us or something there. And right at the back is this staircase going up to the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I wonder if I'm allowed to go up that staircase.
Mm-mm. You didn't, did you?
Because I want to see what's up there. No, I didn't, because there was like an unwritten rule. It's like, I probably shouldn't go up that staircase.
It's for the rich people.
But why not? But why not? It's not roped off. There's no curtain.
Mm.
I saw one hostie come down at one point during the flight, but like the toilets are all there and there's a staircase. Why can't I go up the staircase? I want to know what's up the staircase. I'm intrigued by what's up. I've never seen a staircase on an airplane. I fly a lot. I very rarely fly on a double decker. You very rarely see a staircase on an airplane. I want to know what's up the staircase.
Well, maybe on your way back this time, you should go up the staircase. Do it.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. If there's a staircase, I'm going to do it. Like, what are they going to do? They're going to say, oh, sorry, sir, you can't come up the stairs.
Well, yes, like, they would. Seriously. No, but they absolutely could, but you're not going to get arrested. They're not going to turn the flight
sorry,
around.
Sir.
They're not going to, you know, kick you
the
off.
The stairs are only for rich people. Poor people aren't allowed to use stairs on this plane.
They'll just say, sir, sorry, you're not welcome here.
You're not welcome here, probably. I'm going to try the staircase next time and see what happens. And if I get arrested, I'm going to say it's because of you. You told me to go up the staircase.
All right, let's get into a question.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Okay, I got a question here from Ronnie, who has paid their listener tax. Thanks, Ronnie. And they've got in touch via the Can We Help You Podcast website, canwehelpyoupodcast.com. They've written, hello, guys, love the podcast. Oh, thanks, Ronnie. I have an amazing job and it combines everything I've done in the past. It's the perfect fit for me. But there's one problem. The company is struggling majorly thanks to the cost of living. And the area I work in is currently undervalued and not funded all that well. Plus, COVID has had a massive effect on our team. Honestly, I thought I'd be in this job for at least the next 10 years, and now it could all end in the next few months. There's a chance it might be okay, but I don't really know what to do. Should I look for something else, or should I stick with it and see if things all work out? In the meantime, to save money, I'm doing lots of extra work, as there's a lot of people who have been let go. I don't mind doing extra work, but it's the types of work that I kind of struggle with. I've spent years finding a role that works to my strengths, not my weaknesses. Do I carry on in the hope of it getting better, or do I just throw it in and find something else? Thanks. Love from Ronnie.
Did Ronnie mention what industry they work in by any chance?
Ronnie does not mention what industry they work in. However, they say COVID has had an effect and the cost of living is having an effect on their particular department or team. So I'm not sure exactly what it is, but something that would be affected by those things.
Okay. This is hard, Ronnie, because I know someone in a similar position at the moment, and it's different, but it's similar where they're kind of looking at things and going, this could end up not how I want it to end up. This could be a situation where I find myself without a job very suddenly and I don't want to. And so that person has, you know, was like to me, oh, what do I do? Like, how should I approach this? And they work in a similar industry to me. And I said, look, your job is very particular and it's very, you've gotten to a certain point and it's hard to leave a company and get back into that point. So in terms of like advertised jobs, right? Anyway, so what I said was, who are the market leaders in your industry? This is what I said to my friend. Why don't you start just reaching out and saying, hey, here I am. Here's what I do. I really love your approach. Okay, let's say Ronnie works in advertising, for example, right? Yep. So you know the other big advertising agencies that are in your sphere, Ronnie. Find contacts and start reaching out to people and just saying, hey, you know, I do this. I really love my role. I love the way you approach advertising. You know, have you got any roles coming up? Have you got anything available?
I love the way you approach advertising.
I don't know. It's because I'm using an example that's not my own. So I'm just trying, I don't know, what do you say to an advertiser? I like your advertising. It is good. But yeah, just putting your feelers out. So not necessarily applying for jobs, but maybe reaching out to places that you're like, you know what, I could see myself working there and enjoying it. And so you're A, getting your name out there, B, you're potentially finding, they could come back to you and be like, hey, yeah, we've got a role. It could be better money. It could be better hours. It could be better perks. Like
yeah.
You could be upgrading yourself, but you're still keeping your foot in this current job because you're right. It could all end up fine. But I think that for me at least, I wouldn't want to end up turfed out and going, fuck, I have to find a job. I would much rather put my feelers out there and potentially end up in a better position than just sitting back and waiting for what could be a much more difficult position where it's like, sorry, we have to make you redundant. Maybe you haven't been there long enough. You don't get a great redundancy package or whatever. So you're in that position where you're like, holy shit, I'm not going to be able to afford my bills in a month because I've suddenly been made redundant.
I think this is I think you're right. It is a hard thing to grapple with.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people in the media industry, especially in Australia and across the world, who are currently have either been through this or currently are going through this. Currently wondering if their job's going to exist going forward, or have already had their job cut. And the thing is, I agree with you, Sash. I think regardless, I mean, these days industries and work is so fickle or can be so fickle that it's good to have your feelers out there regardless, and just getting to know people in your industry, making friends in your industry. Not necessarily even, you know, if you're happy with where you're working and you don't think that there's going to be something coming down the line and you're going to lose your job, just having other friends in other workplaces is just nice to have friends who know what you do and who, you know, who can relate to you and the kind of work that you do, and who, if anything were to happen to your job, you can call up and say, hey, listen, here's where I'm at, and if anything pops up. And you know, if you do start sort of making contacts and getting to know other people in your industry, then, you know, also if a job that you like the look of comes up, or if you do lose your job, and then a job comes up and you're like, oh, that would be great for me. Chances are maybe you already know someone in the company or someone who knows someone in the company, and that makes it a lot easier than just blindly applying and going, please look at me, please, I need a job, please, please, please.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing though, so this has happened to me before where you meet someone, they know who you are, you maybe connect on LinkedIn, or in this case for me, it was actually Facebook. So it was this situation where this person knew about me, followed my trajectory, and when a job opportunity came up, I actually applied for a different role and they said, actually, you'd be great at this role, and it ended up being way better for me. So just making those connections, and Ronnie, it's hard. I'm speaking only from experience. The media industry is very much who you know, and yeah, of course you can get jobs by just applying for them in the media industry, but I have not. Every job I've gotten has been a referral, or I've been headhunted, or I've met someone who said, hey, this job would be great for you. So potentially, I'm hoping that this advice isn't completely irrelevant for your industry. I hope you don't work at like a grocery store or something and you're like, well.
Oh, sure. But I think, you know, I think most jobs is there's an element of who you know, and jobs can be easier if you know someone, or if you have a friend somewhere that can help you get a leg up. But Ronnie, I will say that you can make all the connections you want, and obviously that's going to help you out. But in a situation where things are bad for an entire industry, or perhaps your department across, your particular department across different workplaces and different industries, it can be hard because those places might not be hiring at the moment. So stick with it, and maybe if you do find yourself turfed out, unfortunately, hopefully you can access some kind of unemployment or welfare, or the dole, as we call it in Australia, Centrelink, and just keep on keeping on, and maybe learn a couple of new skills and see what it is that you can do for your next step.
Yeah, I think it's important as well to know that, like, it can feel like the end of the world at the time, but if you're actively looking for roles. So, you know, say what you don't want to happen happens and you get made redundant and you haven't got something else lined up. At the time, it feels like the fucking worst thing in the world. Jobs come and go. There will be other opportunities. It might suck for a while. You might have to make some concessions. You might have to, I don't know what your living situation is. You might have to move back home for a bit. Like, yes, it will probably suck, but you will come out the other side and things will get better and you will be able to look back in a few years and be like, oh God, that sucked. I do that with a number of things in my life where at the time it felt like the, and it was genuinely like at the time, like it felt like my world was crumbling, but you inevitably, as long as you have good supportive people around you, I know that's not the case for everyone, but I think in most situations, blips happen. You're going to have peaks and troughs in life. You will be okay. In the meantime, put your feelers out there, see what else is around that might be a good match for you. And, you know, maybe just hang in there and just wait and see, you know, like you don't know, it could all turn around and be much better. So, exactly. I mean, inflation's starting to finally go down in Australia. So maybe that's a sign.
And, you know, the other thing is like, you know, if there is a great match for you somewhere else, then perfect. But, you know, maybe if there's not at the moment and you do end up, you know, getting made redundant, the fact that you've been there for a while, which maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but if you have been there for a while, you know, maybe getting made redundant means you get a good, you know, a good little payout that can keep you going for a couple of months till you find the next thing. And, you know, maybe that's better than jumping to a new job that is not perfect for you or is not right, but, you know, kind of helps your anxiety a bit. So, you know, you got to do what's right for you, but we feel for you and we hope that it all works out. And we know that it will work out, Ronnie.
It will work out. It will all work out. You'll be all good. Let us know how you go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you know when you breathe in to talk and it goes, thank you, is what I was trying to say. For listening to today's episode of Can We Help You? That is all. We will be back in a couple of days, hopefully with Franco, who has been missing for the last two episodes because of his bloody emergency war bunker in the middle of somewhere. So, Franco, we hope you're with us. I mean, he doesn't listen to this.
Franco is actually a bit of a prepper.
Maybe. He's testing out his doomsday bunker.
Yeah, he's probably got the wall that we can't see because we can only see behind him and it looks like it's, you know, I don't know, it kind of looks like there's like old school, like a Morse code machine or something there to get telegrams or whatever. Maybe on the other wall is all of his cans and cans, thousands of cans of baked beans and stuff that he's got saved.
I wonder if he'd let us in. Do you reckon he'd let us into his doomsday bunker if the end of the world happened?
You know what? I think that Franco would feel really bad about not letting us in, but there is no way he would let us in.
He'd be like, sorry, guys.
Oh, no, I can't. Sorry. Oh, I'd love to, but I can't.
I don't know. We could keep the podcast going. I mean, would there be internet? Maybe not. There wouldn't be internet.
I mean, we wouldn't. If we were all in the one bunker, we wouldn't need internet. I guess we'd have to get our podcast out somehow.
Yeah, it's not enough to record it and just play it to nobody. It would need to get out there.
Are we the only ones left on the earth? Like, who's going to listen to it in the event of apocalypse? Like, who are we putting it out for?
You know, in The Handmaid's Tale, there's the underground radio service. So that's a different kind of end of the world. That's when a political takeover where you're not allowed freedom of thought. But there was an underground. It was Oprah. Oprah actually was the radio, was the person who they tuned into on the radio. So maybe we're like a symbol of hope in that instance. There's people around the world. Maybe there's only 200,000 people scattered all over the world. Yep. And we're the ones who are talking to them saying, it's okay, it's going to be all right. This is what we do. That's what we do already. So why not keep doing that?
Yeah, but that's true. I've got to be honest though, if it was the end of the world, like, I mean, I don't know if I'd want to listen to us talk shit about nothing.
I would.
Maybe it would help people.
What would the questions be? I've run out of tinned food. What do I do now?
I've run out.
A zombie got into my bunker and killed all my friends. I feel really lonely.
Yeah. Oh, guys, I got bitten by a zombie and I'm about to.
Oh, my God. Okay. I think that's enough for us this week. this episode. We'll be back.
Have a lovely few days.
Indeed. Don't forget to send your questions. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.